Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go ask Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. You're a member of the Pro Football Writers of America, aren't you?
I am.
All right. I'd hope so. Mary Kay, why did Chris Ballard get the Executive of the Year? Where do you think John Dorsey finished? Do you know any of that stuff?
No. We don't know who comes in, you know, second, third, fourth, or anything like that. But I would have to think that, even though it was a great turnaround in the second half of the season and the greatest turnaround in Browns history, they still went 7-8-1. They didn't even finish 500. So I wouldn't think that, that would garner an award like that.
Is that something that usually has to go to someone whose team's made the playoffs?
It would usually work like that, yes. Definitely.
All right. Just wondering there. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. So Baker Mayfield won Rookie of the Year for the Pro Football Writers of America. I guess there is a difference. They go up on the stage here in, a week, or the couple weeks, the night before the Super Bowl. Do you think Baker Mayfield will be the Offensive Rookie of the Year from the AP?
Yes, I do. I think he will win it, for sure. I think that down the stretch, his second half of the season, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, a 106.2 rating, and a lot of people saw him on national television at the end. So, yes, I think he will win it.
How much do you think that means to the franchise and the fan base?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think it's absolutely huge for him to start out his career that way and get those kind of accolades. I think it's going to be a great moment for him, for the Browns, for Browns fans.
Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. Obviously, Freddie Kitchens called into our show earlier in the week. Mary Kay kind of took us by surprise, made some national headlines, and he just is coming off like a guy who can't do anything wrong. I mean, he can't. Everything he does energizes the fan base. He connects with the fan base. What do you make of Freddie Kitchens now as he is the head coach? Do you think this is going to be the Freddie Kitchens experience from here on out? Or do you think we'll see a different guy come training camp?
Oh, you will not see a different guy come training camp. Freddie is a man of the people. He's established himself as that. He made it abundantly clear in his press conference. He's not changing. That's who he is. He said all the right things. I did just a whole slideshow alone on how he won the press conference and all the things that he said that won over fans, and I'm sure his players and the team, you know, just things about if you don't wear orange and brown, you're not one of us. There were a lot of those kinds of things, and I think Browns fans absolutely love him, although I still hear from a lot of people that would have loved to have kept Greg around in addition to Freddie, but he's one of, he's one of Cleveland. He's one of Cleveland fans. He's one of the dog pound, the hoodie, you name it. It's exactly what Browns fans and hopefully the team needed after what happened with Hugh Jackson.
And Mary Kay, you mentioned Greg Williams, and that had to be a weird situation because, you know, they're on the same staff. Obviously, he gets elevated up to offensive coordinator. I have no idea if Greg Williams had anything to do with that in the first place. Greg Williams is a coach. He's a holdover from Hugh Jackson. And then he gets that interview on New Year's Day and doesn't get the job. He's gone. He has to go find work elsewhere. He's now emerged with the Jets while Freddie gets the job. Did Greg Williams really ever have a chance at the end of the year when it came to John Dorsey in that interview?
No, he didn't. And we had been saying that all along. Every time I went on with you guys or with anyone on 92, I had been saying that all along. And here's why. They wanted to close the book on the Hugh Jackson regime. They did not want to have a whole staff full of Hugh Jackson people in the building. And you could see that the day that Freddie got the job, almost every single Hugh Jackson hire was ushered out the door. There's really, I think, only two left right now that I can tell, and that's Adam Henry, the wide receivers coach, and Dwayne Walker, the secondary coach. Other than that, everybody else is gone, and that's why. And I just don't think that Greg ever had a chance to do that and keep all of the Hugh people in the building.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, Mary Kay, now with Freddie Kitchens in, what do you think is the most important thing he needs to keep going with his relationship with Baker Mayfield? Because there will be 8 months of film study before we start next year. Things are going to be different, how defenses are coaching him. And obviously, both men are going to be different. There needs to be a second step taken, and this is a step towards the playoffs in year two with both of these guys.
Well, a couple of things between Freddie and Baker. First of all, like you said, they have to take it up to the next level because teams are going to be gunning for both of those guys. They're going to be digging into that film and trying to figure out how to stop them. And now they will have a body of work to study. So that's number one. Then the relationship just between Freddie and Baker is going to change just by nature of Freddie's new job. He's going to have to delegate more. He won't be able to spend as much time as he did with Baker. He'll spend a lot, but he's got to turn some of that over to Todd Monken, and he's got to turn some of that over to Ryan Lindley. And he will do that, or else other parts of the team will suffer. So he's going to have to find the balance there. Then he's also going to, at times, have to have a little bit maybe of a firmer hand on Baker at times. Maybe, maybe not. But if there are times when he feels he has to talk to him, chew him out, do whatever he has to do, there might be a little bit more of that because now he's running the entire show.
Mary Kay Cabot, join us on the hotline. I don't know if this would have been, yeah, this would have come off very unprofessional to ask the question, but I'm going to ask it now because I just don't know much about Freddie Kitchens in the way of experience. How much, other than you're a coach in the NFL and you're an offensive coach, how much does he know about defense? What kind of a defensive stamp did he want to put? Did that have anything to do with the defensive coordinator that they ended up hiring?
Well, I'm sure they did want a defensive coordinator who could run that side of the ball and that Freddie did not have to worry about it that much. And I'm sure it's that way with most offensive coaches. They're not expected to really coach up the defense, and he really won't be either. So they brought in Steve Wilks, who not only has defensive coordinator experience, but also has head coach experience. And then they brought in Al Holcomb, who has defensive coordinator experience under Steve Wilks last year. So Freddie's not going to have to worry about coaching that side of the ball, but he will have to oversee that side of it. He will have to know it. He will have to make decisions and help make decisions on that side of the ball because that's what a CEO coach does. You have to oversee the whole thing. But, it will be more so the way that Hugh Jackson was able to be with Greg Williams, where, for the most part, hands off, you know what you're doing, go do your job.
You know, obviously, Mary Kay, a coach does so much more than just call plays or, you know, come up with a game plan. They have to deal with stuff on a daily basis. Even the best teams in the league, they got to deal with off-the-field issues. You know, earlier this year, you remember when Josh Gordon was coming back, there was this discussion that Hugh Jackson said he wasn't going to play right away, and then, boom, what do you know, Todd Haley has him in the starting the starting scheme to start out that game, personnel-wise. So do we have any indication how he is going to lead? Is he going to be iron fist guy? Is he going to be out there, disciplinarian? Or is it going to be the opposite, players coach? What do we know about the way that he is going to lead?
Well, I think he's a players coach for sure in that after every game, I would see him going around and talking to offensive players. If someone was upset about a play, he was consoling them. He was congratulating them. So he's very much a people person, a players coach type of person. I think that's how he will run his coaches meetings. I think he will be open to all suggestions, and he's going to have to be because he readily admits he doesn't have all the answers. And then you're bringing in a guy like Todd Monken to help you run the offense, and he has all kinds of experience in the air raid, which Baker Mayfield excelled in at Oklahoma. So he's going to be bringing in some very high-level, explosive-type offensive concepts that he's going to be able to incorporate and bring, and Freddie's going to be open to that. He's already said he's open to that. This is not I, it's we, he says. So I don't think you're going to, if they had Hard Knocks cameras in the room this year, I don't think you'll see some of the dissension that was there last year. Now, part of that was, you brought in a couple of guys that that were basically ended up being completely opposed to the things that Hugh Jackson was doing and the way that he was doing them. So right from the start, you could see that that wasn't going to work. I don't think you'll have that type of thing on this staff at all. But I do think that, Freddie's going to have to try to bring together all different kinds of languages and philosophies.
How weird is it going to be? Are you going to the Senior Bowl next week? Let me ask you that real quick.
I am going to the Senior Bowl, yep.
How weird is it going to be to not look at a quarterback?
Oh, that will be weird, yes.
At least top end, yeah.
That will be really weird. Now, some of the years, the top quarterbacks weren't there, but when I look back to last year was all about watching Baker, following him around as best I could, watching Josh Allen, watching everything that they did, and it was very, very interesting to watch that whole process play out, you know, from that week on all the way up through the draft. So it will be weird. I remember vividly being there and just standing there, you know, for a few days, watching every pass, every move that Carson Wentz made, and, you know, grabbing him in a hallway and doing a one-on-one video with him and trying to talk to all kinds of people about him. So, yes, it's been all about the quarterback for years, and this will be very different.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Let me ask you another thought of this, because I want to get your temperature of this, because I'm going to be making a point here over the next month. Would you rather try to go after one of these free agent backup quarterbacks, or would you rather draft one of the guys maybe mid to late round as a backup for Baker?
Well, you know, it doesn't really matter. Whatever they see fit. I mean, if
I need I need a hard damning opinion, Mary Kay. Either or, go.
Let's go free agent.
My lady. That's what I like about it.
I wonder, Mary Kay, because this came up in the playoffs. Obviously, Nick Foles, to the extent where he had been in there, that's an anomaly. You're not expecting a backup quarterback to win the Super Bowl. But one thing you might need is, say there's a Week 13 and Browns are trying to get home field advantage in the playoffs and Baker misses a game because of an ankle injury and you need a guy to come in. Is Drew Stanton going to be that guy? The Browns have that kind of trust in him? Because I think he was more of a mentor. I think it's time now that we can get a backup quarterback in here, because for once we don't have to worry about an actual quarterback competition.
Well, I do think it's something that that they'll have to look at and decide, can Drew be that guy for them? He is a great mentor to Baker, so I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. I think that Baker relies on him in a lot of ways, including how to be a professional, how to handle a lot of things, and plenty of things on game day in terms of what he's seeing and things like that. So Drew will be around in that capacity. As far as whether or not they need a Nick Foles or somebody of that caliber, we'll have to see. I could see them bringing in another good backup quarterback, but probably not really a name guy.
Well, I keep hearing about how great a teammate Tyrod Taylor is. He'll be a free agent. Maybe he's not going to get that starting money somewhere else, or maybe not even a starter's role somewhere else. Any chance in hell they would retain him?
Well, I think he'll go out and test the market. I suppose that he could end up back here if he didn't find what he wanted, but he will go out there and see if he can get something different.
Can you tease me a little bit with what you're going to write later on? Because you dropped a bunch of bombs yesterday after you came on with us.
Did I? What did
yes,
I do?
Yes, the whole coaching search thing and all that stuff. You remember, Mary Kay.
No bombs coming. I think that most of the big news has happened in terms of the coaching search.
Okay.
I think it's going to be really interesting to be at the Senior Bowl and see how these guys operate. I remember looking up in the stands one year and seeing Hugh Jackson and Stashi sitting there together trying to evaluate Carson Wentz and the quarterbacks that year. Now it's going to be John Dorsey sitting next to Freddie Kitchens. That's going to be really interesting to see how those guys are working together and to see all the other staff members that are going to be there trying to get to know each other and figure out who they all are. Maybe they'll need a little cheat sheet to know what all the faces are there, too. So it's going to be an interesting week next week.
Mary Kay, we thank you for the good times. All the best. We'll talk to you again very shortly.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.